All right, thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. It's 9:40 on a Tuesday, and that's when we check in with our friends at SalesportsTalk.com. And Karen Lyle will co-host this segment with me, and she joins us in London, where she is still there. She just got back from Paris, and she's heading to Barcelona for the America's Cup. Karen, I know in a couple minutes we're going to play your interview you did with Conrad Coleman. That you did in Paris, and he is our lone American representative in the Vendée, is that right?
That's right, and very enthusiastic. He actually started out doing an entirely different sport, but I'll let the interview reveal the rest about that. You know, I've been just on the edge of my seat watching the America's Cup because the New York American Magic team did not make it into the final semifinals that we're at right now, but they were so close. And now it's just the Brits and the Italians, and every day they're just tying with each other. So one wins one, the other wins the other, and we're on the fourth day. And it's just a fantastic match. These racers are so close in their skills together and the designs of the boats and so forth. I just can't wait to see this in person.
You know, in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, American tennis was so good, and now we stink. And I think I'm drawing the parallel with U.S. sailing when it comes to the America's Cup. Why are we in such a trough right now?
Well, actually, it isn't a trough. When you look at the fact that these races are so very, very close, because the American Magic won against Luna Rossa, who's now still contending for the position in the finals with Ineos Britannia. But you have these teams that are really, really very, very skilled, and some little kind of thing, just a shift of the wind or maybe a decision, a tiny mistake that's made, is really what makes the difference, because these races are very close. So, and the American team also had youth races on some smaller boats, and the American Magic team was right up there at the very end, and Luna Rossa won the first place, but the second one went to the Americans. So we are very close, and we weren't this close before, so we're just getting closer and closer. But, you know, I have one foot in London and one foot in San Francisco, so I'm still rooting for the team that represents the city that I'm in right now.
I appreciate that you're saying we're close, but it's horseshoes and hand grenades, and you know, America, we love a winner, and if you ain't first, you're last.
Oh, that's what they say.
All right, well, just like in about 30 seconds here, just to explain the Vendée, because I told you before, I used to interview Bruce Schwab. I think that was in 2002 or whatever, and he was calling in from his satellite phone. It is a solo around-the-world race. How long does it last usually?
It's several months, and it is a tremendous feat, because it's a single person on a single boat, and there are 40 of these sailors and 40 boats that are going to be taking off on the 10th of November, and I had an opportunity to interview five of them. They're fantastic people, just very, very talented, courageous, and they're getting ready for this tremendous voyage that could, you know, actually cost them their life if it doesn't go right. So it's really in quite a bit of courage.
Without further ado, here is Karen Lyle's interview with Conrad Coleman at the Vendée Globe Race press conference in Paris.
This is Karen Lyle of Salesport Talk, and I'm here at the Vendée Globe media event with Conrad Coleman of MS Emlyn. Conrad, such a pleasure to have you here on Salesport Talk.
Thank you. Great to be here. I'm the only American in the fleet and one of the only English speakers, native and English speakers, and so I'm really delighted to have this opportunity to bring to you what I think is one of the biggest sporting events in the world that you may have never heard of. The Vendée Globe is an incredible phenomenon here in France, and yet is poorly understood and poorly appreciated outside of it, and I'd like to change that.
what I would love to do is have you tell our listeners a little bit about how you got into this.
Yeah, that's right. I was born into a sailing family that was doing a cruise around the world. So three weeks after I was born in New Zealand, I was back on the boat in Bali, and then we continued moving through the South Pacific. This was an adventure that was sadly cut short by the death of my father in an accident on the boat. And so safe to say that I have a pretty safety-oriented mindset when I'm out there by myself now. But that meant that I grew up in New Zealand, always with my feet pretty close to the water or in the water, but certainly didn't do any sort of high-level championship sailing at all. Did a bunch of mucking about on Optimists and sort of family cruising boats, but nothing really more serious than that, primarily because they didn't go fast enough. I was a bit of a speed junkie, and I found that little boats didn't go fast enough. So I ended up moving to the States for high school and college, and I was a pretty competitive mountain biker, and I started getting more and more into endurance mountain biking, so solo 24-hour events. And I started to realize that the longer the event was, the better I did. And also as a mechanic, as a technician, and as a high-performance athlete, I had sort of built the toolbox that would allow me to come and do something even longer. And along the way, I had sort of fallen under the charm of the Vendée Globe, which is the longest sporting event on this planet. To go further, you have to leave it. And at 30,000 miles, it's really something that is quite special. It is totally unique in sport, in any mechanical sport. The idea of sending somebody off to go 30,000 miles or 3 months nonstop, solo, without any outside assistance, means that you need to be capable of managing all of the systems on board, managing yourself, and being able to perform at a high level in complete isolation. So it's quite the challenge. And so in 2007, when I finished my degree, I sold out of my company, I sold everything I had, and I moved to Europe with a backpack full of wet weather gear and a sparkle in my eye, and a 10-year plan to go from 2007 as a zero to 10 years later, having completed three races around the world, and finally the Vendée Globe.
Conrad, tell us a little bit about the boat that you have prepared for this race.
Yeah, it's a boat that certainly caught my eye back in 2008 when I first came to see what the Vendée Globe was all about. I was working as a volunteer shore crew for one of the members, and the boat that I have now was decked out and looking amazing. And back in 2008, now it's a little bit of an older boat, and it's not equipped with foils, and so there are very definitely two fleets within the Imoco fleet. There are those that are equipped with foils, and certainly the new generation are completely remarkable in terms of high-tech machines that can go sometimes twice the speed of the wind in very challenging conditions. And so my boat is more conventional, although relative to a normal quote racing boat, it's still pretty spectacular. The mast is 100 feet high. I carry 6,000 square feet of sail area. I've got a canting keel, water ballast, dagger boards, and the whole thing is made out of carbon fiber. So, you know, things are relative when we talk about normal boats. But it was built back in 2007. I took it in hand in 2021 and have done significant refits on it during during this time. I've raced it across the Atlantic several times solo, including the Route de Rhum, the Transat Gavarni, the double-handed, and then several races back across the Atlantic as well. This is all part of the preparatory phase of qualification and selection to get to the start of the Vendée Globe, because racing 30,000 miles without stopping by yourself is not something that you can do sort of spontaneously, and the rules reflect that. So you have to accumulate lots of racing miles in order to even be able to line up for the start of this race.
This is Karen Lyle on SailSport Talk on Sports Byline, and I'm here with Conrad Coleman, and we are at the Vendée Globe media event discussing MS Amelin, which is the boat that Conrad is sailing, and his experience as the skipper who is about to go around the world again for the second time. And you did this race in 2016. What did you feel that you needed to improve on for this race that you're about to embark?
Well, I've largely done that by getting the boat earlier than I did last time, and making sure that I know the boat, that it is reliable, That we've changed a lot of the systems, including making the boat completely autonomous on energy, so I will not be running the engine at all during the course of the race. This is something that a feat that I managed to achieve in 2016 with a different mix of technology. But I was the first and thus far only skipper in the history of the event since 1989 to do this, to sail the 30,000 miles without burning any fossil fuels. And I believe that as sailors and certainly as at the pointy end of the sport, it is both an opportunity, nay, our responsibility, to demonstrate that as a mechanical sport, we can achieve these incredible sporting feats without fossil fuels. I think that we have the incredible opportunity to be pushed by the wind, and I think that we should be charged by the sun as well. So the boat is now covered with solar panels. All of the systems on board have been made as efficient as possible so that the consumption can be balanced by the production from the panels. In addition to that, I have little turbines that drag underneath the boat that can also charge the batteries as well. And then I've done some sail development to make sure that the boat is as fast as possible as well. The generation of boat that was built for 2008 was quite a big sort of graduating class. And so even though they're older boats, they still make up a pretty decent percentage of the fleet. And while we're certainly not going to trouble those at the front that have the latest, greatest foils, it's going to be a tight race all the way. And for example, we did a 48-hour race last week, and I beat one of my similar generation boats by 33 seconds, and we had a match race to the finish line. And so I invite all of you to look all up and down the rankings, because there are going to be good fights all the way.
And tell us where the fans for you, because you're going to develop those fans as you go about this journey, can find you.
Sure. Well, I've got a YouTube channel, so if you look for Conrad Coleman or also on Instagram. But crucially, the entry to follow the race is the website, vondeglobe.org, I think. But typically, there's not that much English-speaking content, and so you really need to go look out native English speakers like me to sort of get an inside view on the race. Also, I remember what it felt like when I was sort of perched on top of the mountains in Colorado watching this race from afar, and I never lost this notion of what it feels like to be on the outside looking in. And so thus, now that I'm here, I'm super motivated to really invest a lot of my time and effort, not only pulling on the sheets and trimming the boat and stacking and all the rest of it, but also telling the story and trying to bring as many people along with me as I possibly can. So please tune in.
Thank you so much for coming and being on the show with me here in Paris.
Thank you very much. It's a really great opportunity. The Vendée Globe completely changed my life. It's what brought me here to France. It's what allowed. It's what meant that I learned French. It has completely shaped my life. And for me, it is really the ultimate adventure, both in terms of an entrepreneur to build a project, to find the sponsors like MS Amelin, and then to prepare the boat, build a team, develop that. And so it's an incredible adventure even before you get to the start line. And then once we're there, then it's really quite something special. So I invite all of you to follow along. It is completely unique. It happens only once every 4 years. And so now's your opportunity to get involved.
Well, and thank you for bringing America into it.
That's the idea. I'm the only one.